Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be here this morning, to be up early at the start of the service. It's strange doing the announcements here. We have a lot of them this morning, so we want to get stuck into them. First of all, we want to say that we're having communion today, so what we like to do a couple of times a year, we bring the K4C leaders back in to have a short communion service after the service. So if you want to have a chat, please make your way around to solid ground, around to the fellowship area there, because they'll be coming in, and we're going to have another wee communion here, so get out. This Thursday night is the first rehearsal for Father's Day, so any of you men who have any sort of a voice at all and want a bit of crack and a bit of banter, come on ahead. Yes, Leonard's doing this. I've heard you sing, Leonard. You can stay at home. Sorry. Not sorry, but I'm to pretend to be sorry. Come along at 8 o'clock, and we're going to put a song together that will hopefully bring, you know, God some glory on Father's Day as we think about what that's about. And then, men, our event is on Friday night, 7:30. Remember, we're here today talking about fellowship. That's the theme of the service: fellowshipping around the Lord's table. Fellowshipping, what does that mean? And our men's event is about men finding fellowship and friendship and having someone to talk to. This is just the first of what we hope will be a number of events that will go on that help to give every man someone to speak to if they need someone to talk to. So please come along. I think it's 80 or 90. We're catering for 100 plus 20. So there's a bit of room left. If you haven't got a ticket, don't worry. Come and we'll get a fiver off you. You have stuff to pay. But you'll not need a ticket. But we'll get the fiver off you at the door and come on ahead and bring somebody with you. That would be great. This month we collect for our annual Building for the Future Fund, so that's the end of the month now. If you forgot about that, please try and get it in next week so that the finance team and the account guys can get that all put together. Then I've a little sheet here which will be out at Solid Ground. Ards Bible Weekend, Faith Mission do a little weekend of mission down in Port of Ogie Presbyterian Church. It's Friday the 31st to Sunday, June the 2nd. Three services all at 8 p.m. So if you want to have a look at that, those wee sheets will be out at Solid Ground. Then we have some CDs for sale out in the cafe in Solid Ground there. And Michael Allen, if he's here, Michael, are you here? No, I saw his wife earlier on. Michael's not here. Well, there's his wife. Michael's not here. Michael will be looking after these for us. So these are the Low Country Boys. So we all know who the Low Country Boys are. And they have a CD out which has got gospel stuff, Ulster Scott stuff, bluegrass, and just old-time hillbilly. Is that right? Hillbilly. There you go. We've listened to it at home. It's a blessing, and it's fun. And if you want to learn the song about the four grave of craws sitting on a wah, this is the CD for you. Now, why are we promoting this CD? Well, it's got gospel stuff on there. But the Low Country Boys are very good to us. They've provided some entertainment, and they've taken nothing for it. And they've produced these CDs at £10. And for every CD sold, they're going to give £5 back to us as a church. So there's a number of them out there. If you see Michael or whoever's on behind the desk, if behind the counter serving the tea, if you give them a tenner, they'll sort it out. So that would be great. Thank you. In the announcement sheet, looking forward a few weeks, I want to just draw your attention to a pre-loved, it's called, which means second-hand, book sale. That the YWCA are running here in the church. So the YWCA have been for a while running a ladies' book club. So ladies, if you're interested in reading books, look for that in the announcement sheet. There's a good time of fellowship amongst the ladies as they spend the month reading a book and then spend the night talking about the book. And that has been very good, and the ladies will go enjoy it. But they're running a pre-loved book sale and coffee morning. The details are in there on Saturday the 15th of June. So get the details, but just please put that in your diary and try and pop in to support them if you can. And then I've been given this notice here. Saturday the 1st of June at 11 a.m. to 12 noon at 30 Ballygeela Road, there is a coffee and bric-a-brac sale with cakes and an auction in aid of South African Children's Orphanage. Now it's Lady Margaret McElroy, I think. I can't read the writing on this. Was this you, Deanne, give me this? But you know who it is. Margaret McElroy. Came and spoke at the Wings, has spoken at Wings. So the ladies, you'll know who this lady is. So she's having a morning to raise funds for South African Children's Orphanage. So please put that in your diary if you can. I think that's all by way of announcement. Just I want to highlight and remind you of one little thing. Today we're meeting around the Lord's table for communion. And if you are a communicant member of this congregation, so if you have at one stage in your life stood at the front and made those promises and become a communicant member of the church, or if you've transferred here from another congregation, what we do as a Presbyterian church is we record people who have come to communion. Now, that's not because we're a big brother watching you and we want to keep an eye on you and we'll be knocking on your door and saying hi and telling you off for not being at communion. But as a Presbyterian church, you, the congregation, make many of the big decisions. So you choose your minister. I might be regretting that, but there you go. You choose your minister and get stuck with him. You also choose your committee. You can vote for your committee and you can vote for your elders and be voted for. So it's important that you maintain that right. And how we do that? We don't want people just walking in the door and making those decisions. It's people who are committed. And the word is devoted, because we're going to be looking at that later on. People who are devoted to this congregation, who are the communicant members, who are all in, who are signed up and all in, them and their families. And the two marks to stay on that list to be eligible to vote is your attendance at communion and your giving. That's why we have envelopes with your numbers on them. Not that we're checking how much you give, but it's just to record those things. Very important. So we've just noticed that the communion tokens are going down, and some people we know are here are not writing their name on a list or putting that down. But it's very important for us, folks, because we can't keep an eye on everyone who's here or who isn't here, especially with two congregations. So there's people in both places. So please, either fill in your token or put your name on the list. That would be very, very helpful for us and just keeps everything right for us as a congregation. Okay, we're going to come to worship God now. I want to invite you to stand with me as we read God's word together by way of a call to worship. So please, let's all stand. I'm going to read some words from Psalm 96. Oh, before we do that, I just want to say a big congratulations to Mr. and Mrs. Boyd. Yes, that is you there, yes. So up in the balcony, we have Mr. and Mrs. Boyd. Mrs. Boyd, are you all right? Yes, Mrs. Boyd, you okay, Mrs. Boyd? She just can't get used to this, Mrs. Boyd. Adrian and Sharon were married in here on Friday, and they've been attending the church. You would recognize, you might not know their names, but they do sit around the place. Folks, you're very welcome this morning. Just give them a big round of applause there, folks. Honeymooning in Trinity, that's the first. Usually we don't see married couples for a month. But folks, you're very welcome. You're very welcome, and congratulations. We worship God by reading some words from Psalm 96. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods, for all the gods of the nations are but idols. But the Lord has made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord the strength, the glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Let's sing now together our first piece of praise, the splendor of the King. How great is our God. Let's come before God now in prayer. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we've just been singing how great you are. Lord, it's a small word. We use it quite a lot. He says a great day. Lord, we say things are great, like a great cup of tea. That was a great dinner we've had. That's a great fellow over there. And Lord, then when we use that same word for you, it just seems inappropriate, Lord. Because you are far and above anything and everything in this world. You are the God who created the universe, the psalmist tells us. Everything else that we would put before you is merely something that has been made by human hands. But Lord, you are the God of all creation. You have made the very human hands that make these other things that people sometimes worship. Lord, you hold the whole universe in your hands. As the psalmist says, your works are too wonderful. Our minds cannot comprehend, Lord, all that you are, all that you have done, all that you are doing, all that you want to do in and through us, all that you're even going to do today in this service of worship, Lord. So with that in mind, Lord, we come with a real sense of excitement and expectation as we come into this place of worship today. We know, Lord, that you're pleased to meet with us. Lord, your spirit moves here. And we pray, Lord, that he would speak to each of us words that we need to hear. Yes, individually and collectively, Lord, that this would be a place of fellowship. Lord, speak to us today about this fellowship that you have created, that you have begun. Lord, help us to build it and strengthen it. May everyone who comes through these doors, Lord, become part of it. And Lord, as we meet excitedly and expectantly, we know there are those who come through our doors, Lord, and they're not excited. They're not expectant. Lord, there may be those here today, and they don't know why they're here. They may be here regularly, but don't know why they're here. But Lord, you draw them, and you call them to this place of worship. None of us are here today, Lord, by accident. We are here because you have us here. So for those, Lord, whose hearts are heavy today or who are struggling with anything, Lord, at all, we just pray that you would release them from that so that your word would go into their minds and into their hearts. We pray against all the distractions of the world. We pray against Satan this morning, Lord, as he would try to steal away the good work, the good news of the gospel, the seeds that will be sown into lives today, Lord. As he would try to steal that away, Lord, we pray against him. And Lord, as we come before you today, each of us have come up out of our beds this morning. We have come up to this place to worship you. And already, Lord, there are things that we have done that have let you down. There are thoughts that we have thought that are wrong. There's things maybe today, Lord, that we should have done that we didn't do, knowing we should have done them, but just didn't. Lord, we know that you place your spirit within us as followers of yours, but yet within us we have this war that rages in our very soul, that good voice and that bad voice. Lord, for our children, Lord, we pray that they would know that difference. As soon as they know the difference between right and wrong, Lord, that they would listen to that good voice in their ear and not the bad voice in the other ear. But Lord, when we do listen to that other voice and when we do things that don't please you, we ask for your forgiveness, Lord, individually and collectively in this place this morning. Lord, you know what's going on in our own minds now, even as we pray. You know the things that are rumbling about in there. Lord, as we offer them to you now, we ask you would pour forgiveness into this place. And Lord, as we meet this morning, we recognize we have been connected to a couple of families in the last week who are mourning today. So we pray, Lord, for the Rainey and the Seagrot families who have laid fathers, husbands to rest, Lord, this week. And we ask, Lord God, that you would continue to surround them with your love and your blessing. Lord, we pray for our GB company today as they, this weekend as they're off at Ganaway. We just ask you would be with them, keep them safe. And Lord, be with the officers there as they get that time to just spend with the girls. Lord, may they be able to have opportunities to just share who Jesus is. And Lord, we do pray for Adrian and Sharon in their wedding, Lord. We just thank you for them. And as we prayed this morning, Lord, for Rodney and Valerie Orr, who were married a couple of weeks ago, Heavenly Father, and the newness of those relationships, we just pray that you would pour blessing upon blessing into them. And Lord, as we come around this table today to worship you, to remember what Jesus has done for us, Lord, just remind us who know and love you what Jesus has done. Lord, if that is disappearing into the busyness of our minds, Lord, bring it up to the fore today as we remember Jesus. For those who are here and don't know Jesus, Lord, may this be a day where they realize what Jesus has done for them. That great sacrifice for them, for us, Lord, for our sins. And we pray, Lord, that new life would be celebrated here today as people would turn from their sinful ways, have their sins forgiven, and turn to Jesus. So, Lord, lead us by your Spirit, Lord. Empower everything that we do, everything we sing and read and pray and speak about today, Lord. May it be all for your glory and for your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we're going to turn to God's Word now, folks, before we sing with the boys and girls and let them away. We're going to read from Acts chapter 2. So this is back to the beginning, not the beginning of time, obviously, but the beginning of the church when fellowship began. So we're going to read a little bit about whenever Peter stands up and addresses the crowd on the with that first gospel sermon. We begin our reading, Acts chapter 2, verse 22. This is God's Word. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs, which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will live in hope, because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life, and you will fill me with joy in your presence. Brothers, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried, and his tomb is here to this day. But he was a prophet, and knew that God had promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of that fact. Exalted he is to the right hand of God. He has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord your God would call. With many other words, they warned them and pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Amen. And we ask God to bless the reading of his word to us. We're going to stand together now and sing, We Want to See Jesus Lifted High. And then, boys and girls, you will go out to K4C.
Thank you.
Today we are continuing our series on what it means to give your life to Jesus, and today we're talking about fellowship, and what a better topic when we're going to be coming around the Lord's table in fellowship to remember what Jesus has done for us. But this word fellowship can be used in various different contexts, especially in the secular world. Fellowship can be a word used to describe a position that someone has earned. So someone, for example, could be in a college or a university and they're teaching and they get a fellowship in that college. It's a position in a group that could also refer to an amount of money that someone gets. So you could get a research fellowship to go and do some kind of study into a particular area of expertise. There are loads of national fellowships for various things, politics, science, education. And a fellowship can be simply just a group of people gathering around one common interest or people with a common friendship. But we're talking today about biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is about a relationship. It's about relationships. And these relationships that are described as a biblical fellowship are deeper and more meaningful than anything that the world can offer us. I want to invite you now to, maybe if your Bible's still open, at Acts chapter 2 as we look at biblical fellowship and what it means and how it started. So Acts chapter 2, we've jumped into that sermon there that Peter preached as he addressed the crowd. But I want to just sort of set the scene of how Peter got to that point, or how the disciples got to that point. Jesus at the beginning of Acts has appeared to the disciples. He has given them command to wait until they get a gift from above, and then they're to go out and continue the work. And the disciples then, they're in the upper room, and they choose Matthias then to replace Judas. And they wait. And after a period of waiting, then they receive the gift that was promised. The Holy Spirit is poured out into that room as tongues of fire come down and rested on them, and they all received the Holy Spirit. And then full of the Holy Spirit, out they went. Out into the streets of Jerusalem, where there were tens of thousands of people there. And lots of those people had been gathered because of the commotion of the Spirit appearing. And they went out and they engaged with these people. Thousands of them in their own language. And there was a bit of a confusion. And they think that they're actually drunk. They can't understand how they're hearing them. And all of these, maybe 7, 8, 10 different nationalities all gathered together. But Peter stands up then and addresses the crowd. And this is day one of making disciples. When Jesus says, go and make disciples, this is day one. This is when it all starts here on this day of Pentecost. Peter preaches the gospel and he tells the Jews exactly what they've done, the position that they're in. And they cry out in verse 37, what shall we do? Peter says, repent. Repent and receive the Holy Spirit. That's the same Holy Spirit that the 120 have just received in verses 3 and 4 in the upper room. 3,000 are added to their number that day. And now we have 3,120 people. There was about 120 people in that upper room, chapter 1, verse 15. 3,120 people, all in now what we call biblical fellowship. They were devoted to that fellowship, we're told in verse 42. And this is a group of people who are described as God-fearing Jews from all over the known world and other converts to Judaism. People from different nations, speaking different languages, men and women, old and young. Now, they're all in fellowship not because of their Jewish identity, because some of the people who have a Jewish identity are not in this fellowship. No, we have 3,120 people in biblical fellowship, enabled only by the Holy Spirit. You see, to be in biblical fellowship, this is the only way to be in biblical fellowship. Biblical fellowship is the result of repenting from sin, from that sin, and then turning to Jesus. Having those sins forgiven and then receiving the Holy Spirit. That is the only way to be in biblical fellowship. And I suppose the question that we need to ask right now is, are you in biblical fellowship? It's plain and simple there. Recognizing your sin, turning from it, repenting, having your sins forgiven, having that conversation with Jesus, and being filled with the Holy Spirit. So are you in this room today in biblical fellowship? A relationship with God through Jesus by the power of the Holy Spirit. Peter stood up before this crowd, and he just said out there, plain and simple, straight talking. He didn't try to confuse anybody. There was no more need for any more parables. This is just shooting from the hip. He told these people in chapter 2, verse 32, "You, with the help of wicked men, nailed Jesus to the cross." You can't get much plainer or simpler than that. But what does that verse mean for us today? Well, even in the day, some of those people would have been standing around going, "Well, I wasn't there. I didn't nail his hands on. I wasn't even there. I wasn't at any of those courts that Jesus was tried at. Or I didn't see him being beaten or flogged. I didn't even see him walking up the hill. I heard about it, but I wasn't there." But Peter qualifies it because he says, "All Israel, see all of you Jews, you did this as a nation." But then you see, we could start stepping back from the whole situation, couldn't it? Because we're not Israelites, we're not Jews. It's got nothing to do with us. We have to think about this slightly differently. But folks, this verse is for us. This verse is for every single person. Because yes, Peter is referring here to the physical act of nailing Jesus to the cross. But what nailed Jesus to the cross was our sin. The sin of the world nailed Jesus to the cross. But let's get really personal here. Because when we talk about the sin of the world, we can think of the news and all these people who are doing bad things, and we think of the world and other things. Let's just stop that. It was my sin and your sin that nailed Jesus to the cross. We weren't even there thousands of years ago. But it was your sin. Personally, individually, every single one of us. Our sin. Isaiah tells us that. He's prophesied that way back in Isaiah 53. "He was pierced for our transgressions, crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed." I just want to put it to you straight this morning, folks. Jesus was nailed to that cross for your sin and mine. As I was reading Isaiah 53 at home, I realized that what I was reading, there was a disconnection from what I was reading and hearing. I didn't read it out loud in the study. I read it in my mind. And I realized what was going on in my mind was actually different from the words that were on the page. And I'm going to share that with you now. We're going to read together Isaiah 53, verse 5. But you don't need to look for it in your Bibles, because that's not going to help you with this wee exercise. Because as I read it in the first person. I didn't read it as a group or as a nation or as a people of the world. I read it just as me. And I want us to read this together this morning in the first person. And for some of us here who know and love the Lord, folks, this will be a reminder of what Jesus has done for you, what he's done for me. And if you don't know and love the Lord Jesus, I want you to read this out aloud, along with the rest of us. And maybe, just maybe, you will realize what Jesus has done for you and what your sin caused. So let's read this. Let's read this all together. "But he was pierced for my transgressions. He was crushed for my iniquities. The punishment that brought me peace was upon him. And by his wounds I am healed." Folks, Jesus did this for you. He did it. He did it for me. He is the Lord, the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Savior. That's what Peter tells these people. That's who he is. That's who he is today. And if he isn't already, he wants to be your Savior. That's why he went to the cross, so that he could be your Savior. The response of the first people to realize this was they cried out. It says they were cut to the heart. Now, don't be thinking there's, you know, don't be getting an image in your mind of a surgeon with a nice, delicate scalpel opening something for, you know, a little nice neck. No, this word "cut to the heart," the root of this word is violence. So these people were stabbed in the heart. It was like a knife being thrust right into their chest. This realization of their sinful position and what Jesus has gone through. They were thinking, some of them there did see Jesus on the cross. And they were thinking of what Jesus has done. And the pain that they felt was the realization of their sin. But it didn't last long. They cried out. They cried out, and Peter says, repent. Have your sins forgiven. Receive the Holy Spirit. Come into fellowship. We can say that now. He didn't say that then, but we can say it now. Come into fellowship. Come into a relationship with Almighty God, a relationship that the world cannot offer you. Nothing that you chase in the world to try and find fulfillment will come close to what Jesus has done for you and the relationship, the fellowship that you can have with God by the power of the Spirit. If he is speaking to you today, folks, repent. Turn to Jesus and come into fellowship with God. And then when you're in fellowship with God, you also then come into fellowship with everyone else in this room who knows and loves Jesus. Because this vertical fellowship becomes a horizontal fellowship. And that's what happens here in the passage. We see then this fellowship is on display. Biblical fellowship on display as these people who now know and love the Lord Jesus begin living together and living this relationship out. In verse 42 it says, they were devoted to the teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Now, this list of activities is not exhaustive for believers or for the church, but it's just what they were doing at the very start. And we'll come back to the list in a wee moment or two and break that up. But what I want to first concentrate on is this word devotion. This is such a strong word with so many layers. It's translated in different ways throughout the scriptures to mean lots of things. It's a very strong word. At the start, it means to be attentive, to be diligent, to dot every I and to cross every T. That's what devotion means. It also means then to be loyal, to stick with something no matter what is going on, because it has this courageous element to it as well. Loyal and courageous in the face of opposition. But it also has this feeling of continuity, of persistence, of perseverance. That's what this word devotion means. And we've taken this word devotion and we've kind of diluted it away down. Because we do a daily devotion, don't we? What is our daily devotion? It's probably the smallest book in your house. You do one wee page a day. It's got one, maybe a whole verse of scripture and a wee short prayer. It takes about 30 seconds to do it. That's my devotion done for today. Is that generally what I know I'm sort of generalizing there. Some of us spend a bit more time, but devotion is this wee daily devotion thing that we do. That's not the word devotion in the Bible. Devotion, attention, diligence, loyalty, courage, continuity, perseverance. Followers of Jesus are to be steadfastly devoted to continue the work of going and making disciples regardless of what is going on in the world around them. Now, this list of four things, what they could be described as, they could be described as a foundational aspect of our lives, of our daily walk with God, our daily fellowship with God. These are the things that prepare us to go out into the world to make disciples. We devote ourselves to these four main aspects of congregational life, and then we go and we work out what God wants for each of us to do with the gifts that he has given us, the passions and the desires. Devotion, fellowship on display. Stop we minute now and think about Trinity's devotion on display. How are we devoted to teaching? Well, we have regularly probably over 200 people worshipping between here and Clocky on a Sunday morning. That's great. We have lots of people who want to come and worship God. We have probably about 100 people involved in Bible study as well, which is good. When we come to break bread on the occasions when we do that, we have on average 180 people who gather around this table in fellowship, public worship. When we come to pray as a congregation together, well, on Wednesday night we had 13 people. Now, God has spoken to us about our devotion to prayer in a whole series. And there was a response. We went up to, between the two prayer meetings, well over in the mid-20s, 25, 26 people. Now maybe I've missed it. Maybe there's a verse in the Bible, in the New Testament here, that says that it's not as important praying for lost souls and for the communities where God has placed us now that there's a bright evenings. If somebody can find that verse, if they text it to me, I'll happily share it next week. But we are to be devoted to fellowship in all of its aspects. And if one falls down, then the rest will fall with it. I haven't really mentioned fellowship yet. And fellowship falls within a funny place in this list of four things. Because fellowship is more than a single activity in our congregation. Oh, there's a slide there somewhere. There we go. Fellowship is more than just a single activity in church life. Fellowship is kind of like a container or a bag that holds the many valuable elements of our church life. As we worship, we fellowship together. As we study God's word, we fellowship together. As we pray together, we fellowship together. As we serve in ministry, fellowship is involved as we serve, as we share, as we help, as we pastorally care. Fellowship is a little part of all of those things. But as a container that holds all of these things, it is extremely valuable in its own right. In and of itself, fellowship is extremely valuable. And I know that illustration of the container might not actually help, because anything that we put in a container, the container is not the valuable thing. We put something valuable into the container. The container protects the valuable thing. If the container or the bag gets damaged, well, that's okay, because it's only covering the important thing on the inside. But we're not to think of fellowship that way. We must give fellowship its full attention. We must treat it with respect, because fellowship on earth reflects our relationship with God. The vertical becomes the horizontal. Paul, writing to the Corinthian church, he says, God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. There it is, the first part. God calls us into fellowship with his Son. And then he says, I appeal to you, brothers, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you should all agree with one another, that there will be no divisions among you, and that you may be perfectly united in mind and thought. Because that's what everybody sees. You cannot see my relationship with God, but you can see how that affects my life. And he says you should be unified. Unity, doing things together. And if we get to our passage in Acts chapter 2, look at verses 44 through to the end. All the believers were together. They had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to everyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. They praised God and enjoyed the favor of all the people, and God added daily to their number those who were being saved. United together, giving to the needy. They met publicly. They met in their homes. The effect of their fellowship, yes, the message of the gospel, but their fellowship had an effect as well. People could see this group of people and what they had when they were united in fellowship with God. Now, there's no doubt this first day and these first few weeks of the church were very special. Special times. All of the church, the whole church in one city, all at the same time. But as we read the New Testament and we see the church spread out from Jerusalem, we read then about the challenges that the church faced. Personality clashes. There was developments in the doctrines of who God was and who Jesus was and who the Holy Spirit was. It took them quite a while to figure out who the Holy Spirit was. There was a debate between the law and grace. The old covenant and the new covenant. What isn't in the old covenant came through into the new covenant, and what should they leave behind? Circumcision was one of those areas where they had lots of debate. But as you read through the New Testament, you see all the writers repeating this importance. Love one another, be together, be built up, build one another up, maintain the unity. All of these things, we can just call it fellowship. The fellowship, folks, is so important. And it has to be worked at. Paul, writing to the Ephesians church, he says, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. So God has done something special in our lives, and our lives should reflect that in a worthy way. He says, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We should give fellowship its our full attention and give it the respect that it's due, not just as a little bit of everything that we do, but think of it as a main event. There is that special bond between us, folks. The Bible tells us as well, Galatians, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. That's a no-brainer. But then especially to those who belong to the family of believers. The bond that we have between us is special. And when it's right and when it's good, it has an effect. That's why Jesus says, let your light shine before men. That light includes fellowship. Let your fellowship shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Folks, a congregation of Christ's church should be devoted to biblical fellowship, because that is an attractive prospect for the lost. That relationship that we've said is deeper and more meaningful than anything the world has to offer. There are people out there searching for meaning and purpose and all sorts of things that are empty and will fail them and will hurt them. And in our country, people are chasing after all sorts of things. They're turning away from churches and congregations because there's poor fellowship on display. Now, they're turning away from church for various other reasons as well. But we surely don't want poor fellowship to be a reason for people to turn away from worship here. Folks, to give your life to Jesus is to be devoted to fellowship. To give your life to Jesus in salvation, to give your life to Jesus in discipleship, to follow him, and then to follow him together in fellowship, to shine our light out into the world. Folks, let us make every special effort to be devoted to fellowship at Trinity here in Grey Abbey. Acts chapter 2 was a special time in church history. But you know, the effects of that fellowship are not confined to the pages of the history books. As we come around this table now in a moment to remember what Christ has done for us, as we think about his devotion for us, folks, may we be encouraged as we fellowship together around this table. May we be encouraged in our walk with the Lord, and then may we encourage each other every day, and may God be pleased to bless us, that we would see people turning to saving faith in Jesus Christ and the numbers of worshippers in this place being added to regularly until Christ returns and takes all who know and love him to be with him for all eternity. Let's come before him now in prayer before we sing. Lord God, we thank you for the truth of your word. Yes, historical, but yet, Lord, truly relevant for us this day. Lord, impress it upon our hearts, Lord, that we would never forget what you have done and what you want to do through us. Lord, we pray you would continue with us now as we come before you to sing to you of what you have done and share around this table. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We stand together and sing Behold the Lamb, a hymn that really prepares us as we sing and open our hearts to come around this table. Let's sing together.
Save for us.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, and happy are those who take refuge in him. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We are a congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's church, and the Lord has prepared his table for all who love him and trust him alone for their salvation. So if you're here today and you are truly sorry for your sin, if you sincerely believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you desire to live a life of devotion and obedience to him, you're now invited to come with gladness to this table of the Lord. And if you are visiting with us today and you know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, you worship him as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, you're invited to warmly come and join with us in the celebration of the Lord's Supper. Our words of institution we take from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread, and we had given thanks. He broke it and he said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup. He said, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on themselves. So just as the pattern that Jesus laid down, we'll come before God now in prayer to prepare ourselves to come around the table. Let's pray. Lord, as we gather around this table, we want to focus firmly and solely on Jesus Christ, your Son and our Savior. Lord, we have thought today about the work of Christ on the cross. And we acknowledge that work as the only payment for our sins. And Lord, we acknowledge his resurrection, giving us hope for eternity. And Lord, we are humbled that in your greatness you would make that known to us. And then, Lord, the knowledge that all of this was for our benefit. Lord, that this was for my benefit. For us personally, Lord, we are truly humbled. We thank you that Jesus taught us how to live. We thank you for his teaching and for his example here on earth. And we thank you, Lord, that now that he has ascended to be by your side, he has not left us alone. But that work continues as we are empowered and filled and as we receive your Holy Spirit and as he works through us. And yet we know, Lord, in these earthly bodies, there's still corruption, Lord. And we turn from what we've been taught. We turn from what your Spirit leads us to do from your will. And we ask, Lord, as we come to this table, that you would just forgive us. Let us leave everything that hinders us, Lord, right now in our prayers. Lord, pour out your forgiveness, Lord, on our lives. We come to you, Lord, gracious God, as people who are needy. And yet we come to you with thankful hearts for all that you have done for us and do for us. We believe that you alone are able to save. You alone can keep us then and provide us with the spiritual nourishment to walk every day of our lives here on earth. So as we gather around this table to think about Jesus, we thank you that we can see Christ in all his grace and mercy. We pray that your Holy Spirit would move as we receive these elements of bread and wine. May this be for us a spiritual interaction today, Lord. May they be for us the communion of the body and the blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. I'm going to invite the elders to come forward now as I come down and as we distribute the elements in our communion. The Lord Jesus, on the night of his arrest, he took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples. He says, take and eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he took a cup to symbolize his blood. He says, this cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood, which was shed for you. for the forgiveness of your sins. Whenever you drink it, do so in remembrance of me. Brothers and sisters in Christ, all who share fellowship with Jesus, every time we eat this bread, every time we drink of this cup, we proclaim, not just remember, but we are proclaiming the saving death of our risen Savior, Jesus Christ. The body of Christ broken for you, do this in remembrance of him. The new covenant blood of Christ, which was shed for you, do this in remembrance of him. Eternal God, we thank you for the grace that brings us in as living members of your Son's church, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you for the spiritual food, Lord, that you have given us here this morning in this sacrament as we remember the body and the blood of Jesus. We ask now, Lord, that you would send us into this world with peace. Grant us strength and courage, devotion to love and to serve you with the story of the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, what he has done for us, what he is doing in us, and what he wants to do in the lives of those who we share our lives with. We ask, Lord God, that you would unite us in this purpose by your Spirit, and that, Lord, you would unite us even now as we stand together and as we say the words of the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Let's stand together, folks, as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Folks, our fellowship sends us out into the world to continue the work that Jesus did, drawing people to himself. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the building of Christ's church, the extension of his kingdom here in this place. We've just prayed about it in the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Let's give God all the glory now as we sing this hymn that we want to be involved in, building your kingdom here in this place. Build your church. Let's sing together.
Come save our hearts, oh please.
Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.